Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to a wonderful time together as we face the issues. Let me remind us, as we do each broadcast on issues, we face the issues based on the authority of Scripture, understanding that it is the Word of God that is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus made a very dogmatic declaratory statement when he said, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we have the responsibility of seeking and following in our lives. Let me simply remind you along that line that as Christians, the Scripture tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. And now there's some folks that I use the term, and I didn't originate the term, that are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good, simply because the mindset is we're heavenly citizens. We're just passing through this old world. And that's a fact. We are. We belong to the citizenship of the kingdom of God in heaven. We are passing through. We are considered, as the Bible relates to us, as foreigners in a strange land. But while we're here, we have the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to be salt and light in the society in which we live in. We have the responsibility to take a stand for truth. We have a responsibility to shed light on darkness and to confront false teachers and false theology and to confront evil. God charges us with that responsibility. Ladies and gentlemen, as residents of this earth, as citizens while we're here on this earth, we're to be salt and light. This would mean that believers are responsible for who we elect and who we place in office. As a child of God, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we have the responsibility of voting. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us, as we face the issue today, we're going to be talking about the issue of voting. We'll be talking about some of the issues that we as voters will be faced with when we go to the polls for the primaries on August the 28th and then November the 6th for the final election. But let me remind you, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, gets you straight through to the studio and right to the microphones that we can have a joint dialogue and discussion. I look forward to your input. It is imperative that you reply and respond with your questions, your comments, and your dialogue and discussion that makes this program worthwhile, that we can impact lives for eternity. I believe that God will have us as Christians to be out in the mix of society. Though we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to impact lives for eternity. And we have that privilege and that opportunity to do so by placing people in office. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. In a constitutional republic, we have the responsibility and, yes, the right to vote. As citizens, we're the ones responsible for placing people in office. Many of you perhaps are not aware of the fact that in the 2012 election, we had approximately 50%, a little better than 50% of Christians that did not vote. And right now, there are a number of Christians, and perhaps you're listening to me, you toss up your hand and you say, "Why bother? We're going to have to put up with crooked politicians anyway. Why bother? My vote's not going to count." But ladies and gentlemen, I can go back and point out to you a number of occasions where one vote made the difference. When it boiled down to the sodomite marriages, where the Supreme Court ruled, one vote made the difference. Several years ago, one of our legislators in Tallahassee went to Tallahassee with a total of a 2-vote margin. So don't tell me that your vote doesn't count. Don't slough it off on the basis that somehow, some way, you do not have to vote. We need to vote, and we need to understand on the ballot issues, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand who's running, why they're running, something about their makeup, their background, their ideological philosophies, and where they stand on issues. We need to place people in office, ladies and gentlemen, that love the Lord, men that have backbone, that will stand for our Constitution and for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is sad to say, but it's true, that even this, the 28th of this month, we'll have a very, very, very minuscule number of Christians that will participate in the election process. I believe in 2016, November the 8th, when Donald J. Trump was elected President of the United States, it was God's divine intervention that placed him in office to clean the swamp. But he's discovered, ladies and gentlemen, it's the sewer. And because we have so many in the so-called Republican Party, so many in Washington that say they're Republicans, i.e. conservative, but yet they're rhinos, Republicans in name only, we found that President Trump has had a horrible time of trying to drain the swamp. And that has revealed that the swamp has really become a sewer. And therefore, it is incumbent upon every one of us as Christians to vote, even though we're talking about now August the 28th, it is the primary election for the state of Florida. And then November, we'll have the general election, which is not just for the state of Florida, but on a national level. On November the 6th, the ballots for the Floridians will have to decide on 13 different constitutional issues. And I don't know if you've studied those constitutional issues or not, ladies and gentlemen, but there are 13 of them that are on the ballot that we'll have the responsibility of deciding. And out of those 13, there's several of them that were placed there by the Constitutional Revision Committee that put them there. And I'm appalled by some of them. We're going to be talking about that this morning as we discuss some of the issues. We're going to be talking with and interviewing Senator Aaron Bean. Senator Bean is the 4th District Senator in the state of Florida. And I am thankful that he is a Christian gentleman that loves the Lord and is not afraid to say so and to stand for truth as he makes decisions in the Senate in Tallahassee. Senator Bean, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion.
Dr. Youngblood, it's always great to be with you. And you, just hearing your voice, my friend, brings peace because that's what you do. And I just am grateful to once again be invited back. It is a crazy time out there because it's political season. And as you mentioned, not only are we making choices on men and women who are going to lead us at various levels of government, but yes, you're right. The real quiz comes this November as 13 amendments will be decided by the electorate.
You're exactly right, and we'll talk about those in just a few moments. Senator, if you would, some of our listeners may not know you, may not know anything about you. Simply give us a little brief biographical overview of who you are, why you're in the Senate, and what are your passions, and what do you expect to accomplish in the coming legislative year?
Well, that, first of all, thank you so much. That's a great question right there. So I am one of nine kids born to Red and Joanne Bean, who moved here from Kentucky. So we grew up in Fernandina Beach. My dad was a school teacher. My mom is my dad passed away, but my mom is still running a dance school. She's 92 years old, and dancing is still her life. And kids, I went to Jacksonville University. I was a banker. I went to banking school, ran a bank, left the bank, started a handful of small businesses. Currently, I work for UF Health as a salesman for the hospital, as a fundraiser salesman. But you know what? I have always been, I've always had a passion for public service. So I served time as mayor of Fernandina Beach. I served 8 years in the Florida House of Representatives. And since 2012, I have been Jacksonville's state senator, one of 40 that once a year goes and wrestles other senators and legislators for how we're going to divide up the state's resources, what laws should be or should not be part of how we live in society. Now, I want to brag on you, Dr. Youngblood, because I know you people hear you talking the talk, but I want to salute you because you actually also walk the walk, because this past year I invited the Youngbloods and you took me up on it. You said, I'm going to come walk the halls with you, Senator Bean. We're going to walk the Capitol. We're going to walk the Supreme Court. We're going to meet with executive officers, and you did that. And I think, first of all, it was what did you think of that? What did you think of those 2 days we spent, or day and a half?
Fantastic. I was intrigued by some of the fresh things that I discovered, but it was some of the old hat, as I would call it, that I'd been accustomed to for years, having had the opportunity to work on about five different bills dealing with higher education. And some of those folks there in Tallahassee are great, great, great people, and have given a very gracious open door to me many times. And I was thankful. The thing, by the way, you're talking about that, the thing that intrigued me perhaps most was the opportunity to go through the Supreme Court building to meet Chief Justice LaBarga. Of course, he is no longer Chief Justice. Someone else is rotated in. But to meet him and to talk with the other others and see what takes place there in the Supreme Court building and the setup, it was an intriguing, refreshing new thing for me. And I was delighted to be able to have you open the doors and walk with us and allow us to be introduced to some of those folks that you know there. It was a delight, and I'm thankful for it. And thank you so much. I'm humbled by your statements and your comments and your words of praise and so forth of the things that we do. We do that because we love the Lord, and I believe that's the thing that motivates you. You were talking about your mother a moment ago, being 92 years old and still working. You have her DNA. Folks don't understand that quite unless they watch you walk through and maneuver the corridors there in Tallahassee. It indicates that you have a zeal and a passion for what you're doing, of which I am grateful for, and I'm delighted to introduce you and ask you to share with our listeners some of the things that you're wanting to do. Have you been assigned committee assignments yet for the new legislative year?
Well, so right now, you know, and one thing that you and I have in common, Dr. Youngblood, and it's in our DNA as well, and that is this. For certain people, when you're around people, it tires you. That's not us. That's not you and me. When we are around people, it energizes us and it gives us more energy, and because we know those people have to be served, they have to be taken care of. And I'm grateful. Those are the genes the Lord blessed me with, and I'm grateful for that for that ability to thrive on energy of other.
Amen.
Other
people. So by the way, there is one vast difference. I don't have the speed of speech that you do in auctioneering. I must say that.
that is also a fun time to do an auction. I'm a sucker for an auction. But you know, so right now, what's happening? The entire Florida House of Representatives is up for a re-election. And half of the Senate. The Senate has 40 members, and so anybody in the Senate with an even number is up for re-election, as am I. I'm Senator 4, so I'm up for re-election. And there's only one senator in the state that did not get an opponent, and that is Senator Book, who is out of South Florida. But everybody else is running. And so no decisions will be made, I guess, on committee assignments or whatnot until we see the makeup of the Senate. So that'll happen. Of course, November will – first of all, we got a primary next week. We got a primary.
Yes.
I've got an opponent. I'm running for re-election. So the primary is next week. And then the winners, in most cases, will advance to the general election, as will – hopefully I will if I'm successful – next week. There's a handful that don't have opponents in the general, but few and far between. So right now everybody is out campaigning, and right now for your listeners, it is a wonderful time to reach out to your elected official, because let me tell you, if they're running for your election, you have their ear and you have their time, and so it's a great time to get involved.
Yes, in fact, let me say to our listeners on your behalf, Senator, I would like for you to just take a moment and share with our listeners how they can get involved, what they can do to assist you, to place you back in office. And I say this very openly and candidly, even though you're listening, I've said this to others. I am delighted to have an affiliation, association with, and knowing those in the House and the Senate that are Christian gentlemen that's not fearful. I don't think that you would mind me sharing this. On one of the occasions in a meeting that you were hosting, and I walked in and as we had a moment to share, and then the meeting started, and when it rotated your time to speak, you made a comment that impressed me, and I'm not trying to embarrass you or put you on the spot. You said, well, we haven't prayed yet. Let's take a moment and pray before I speak. And I was highly encouraged by that, because most that wind up in a political office are afraid or ashamed to somehow mention the name of Jesus. And I want to, you don't have to comment. I just want to commend you for that and say that to our listeners, because I believe they need to get on board and do whatever is possible to help you to be one of the finalists, if you will, especially on the 28th of this month in the primary. Tell us how, briefly take a moment, then we're going to deal with some issues. Tell people how they can reach you. Maybe it's putting up signs, maybe it's making calls, how they can reach you by telephone, email, or website.
Very good. Well, number one thing they can do is vote, is go vote. Right now there's early voting in Jacksonville, Nassau, St. John's, Clay. Everybody has early voting. There's literally no excuse for not voting anymore, because state of Florida makes it so easy to vote. It's no longer an election day where it's a one day deal. It is right now, and every year these numbers grow. But roughly half the people will have already voted come election day. So hopefully people will take advantage of early voting as we go forward. You know what, Aaron Bean is a small fish compared to some of the other bigger ones that you're going to be making a decision on. You may have already talked about it. I know both these gentlemen, who's going to be our Republican nominee for governor, Putnam or DeSantis. I'm friends with both of them. I'm on the Putnam team now. I'm committed to supporting whoever wins going forward, because we need, I believe, one of those gentlemen, I think, would be much better suited to lead our state versus everybody on the other side. I really didn't want to talk partisan politics, but
you're exactly right.
You preach that whole thing. Dr. Youngblood, you know this. Do your listeners know that it's a battle every day? Every day it's a battle for the soul of our country. And guess what? That battle is being fought, yes, at a state level. We see it on a national level, but it's being fought in our school boards. It's been fought in our city halls. It's everywhere. And so it's truly, truly important to pick people that that we can trust, that have a reputation of doing what's right, that at least listen to us. Now, they may not vote our way every time, but do they have our ear? Do they give rationale of why they're voting a certain way? I don't know. And for every decision you see them make, they make hundreds of decisions behind the scenes that you don't even see.
Yes,
you don't,
absolutely.
You don't see. So that's
Senator,
important.
We've got a caller. We've got a caller on the line that would like to ask you a question. Caller, if you would, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, the first one is sort of tongue-in-cheek. I just want to know if Aaron's giving away any gift cards today in response to questions. That aside, I would like to just publicly say this. This man is what we need in government. He is a man with a spine. And good government begins at the individual level with people that understand that our forefathers have given us the right, unique in human history, to shape the government that's over us. And if we don't do that, we get what we deserve, which is what we got with the Clinton administration and the Obama administration. The swamp is there. It has to be drained, but it can't unless we elect people with a spine. And one of the ways that we discern who we're going to vote for is looking at the people who support those people. I can think of a number of candidates who are acceptable and decent men right now, but the men that are supporting them are men who in the last 4 years have stepped forward and supported issues that are not godly and that will not propel this nation the direction it needs to go. So to put all this together, I thank Aaron Bean for being a man of principle. I salute the fact that he understands that it is working at the grassroots that changes things. But we need to keep in mind what I said before. It is our privilege to shape the government that's over us, and it's been a price paid in blood by our forefathers to give us that right. If we don't exercise that right, and if we elect people either by default or by foolish choice that don't have the values that this man has, that Dr. Youngblood has, we, of all people ever in history, should be the most ashamed. So, Aaron, keep up the good work, and I understand you're not going to give me a gift card on this call, but I look forward to seeing you again when you're giving away those Chick-fil-A cards that you do so regularly. God bless both of you. Bye. Hey.
Aaron, thank you. I am delighted for our caller, and I, as the old cliche goes, I second that statement, Aaron. I'm delighted, Senator, for what you've done. By the way, our time is rapidly passing. Let me get into a couple of two or three issues that I believe our listeners would be edified and encouraged to hear. Last year, you were on the Appropriation Subcommittee for Criminal and Civil Justice and for Criminal Justice. And, you know, we've had a couple of times, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, where a bill tried to get passed on ALAC, American Laws for American Courts. Do you know the status of that and whether or not you'd be passionate about that issue in the coming year? And for the benefit of our listeners, share with us what ALAC means and the purpose of that and the reason it's so important for our state.
Well, is this the just saying no way to Sharia law? Is that what
yes.
is that,
yes.
It's called several different things. But what that means is there's people that come up and have violated the law, and they want to be judged by Sharia law, which is not in our Constitution. We have laws for America, and that's the way Americans should be judged. If you're in America and you break our rules or laws, then the process will be determined by American courts, American law, and not foreign law. And so there has been a bill. I have supported that bill. I will support that bill again. That clearly defines that and eliminates that as a process or a defense for anybody breaking American rules. They will be judged by American law and American courts.
Absolutely. And one other question, too, that is not necessarily right in harmony with that, but it goes back to criminal justice. As you are perhaps aware, and I'm sure you are, and a latest case in South Florida where a man was shot on the parking lot, and he did so based on the video in self-defense, and it was stand your ground law, and now I understand he's been arrested and there'll be an attempted prosecution, and there will, without any reservation in my mind, be some type of laws introduced in the legislative session in the first of next year that will somehow try to mitigate or in some way remove or cancel the stand your ground or the castle doctrine for the state of Florida. Tell our listeners where you stand basically on what is called the Second Amendment and a subdivision of that, the castle doctrine of stand your ground laws.
Dr. Youngblood, you are so good. What you just predicted that will happen has already happened. Just last week, several South Florida Democrats have asked that there be a special session immediately to repeal Stand Your Ground. And I have already sent in my proxy saying no, and I think we've defeated that. They have to have a majority to call a special session to repeal or to have a special session on anything. So we've already voted no on that. Your prediction has already come true. But you're exactly right. I'm a proud our good friend Dennis Baxley was one of the authors of, and Senator Bradley from our
yes.
part, two great men who were the originators and I guess they wrote that bill. I was one of the co-sponsors of Stand Your Ground. And let me take you back why we have it. I have to remind everybody that when a criminal invaded somebody's house and committing an act of burglary and a felony of breaking, entering, and then threatening the life of that homeowner, and the homeowner defends themselves, there were courts charging the homeowner with breaking the law. And so that's why Stand Your Ground is right is so vitally important for Florida, for our country that says this. It says, you know what, if you are standing your ground, you do not have a duty to retreat. If your life, liberty, or loved ones are at risk, then you have the right to defend himself. That's the basic grounds of Stand Your Ground, and I will defend Stand Your Ground. I will vote against, as I already have, of any type of repeal or mitigation of that law. It's a great law. And other states are coming to Florida to see how we're doing it.
Yes, in fact, as you are well aware, last legislative session, there's an attempt to some way water down or to in some way remove the power of the Stand Your Ground by altering or an attempt to alter that to law that would make the defense, the individual that was charged with something because he was standing his ground or the Castle Doctrine, and will put the burden of proof on that individual rather than on the state to prove he's guilty.
You are exactly nailed it again.
Yes.
You're exactly right. So that's important. We're gonna stand true. There is, of the 13 amendments, there's one I want to call everybody's attention to, and our caller was talking about gift cards. I have spoken to so many groups, I can't even remember them, but I always like to bring a little prize or a door prize or something. So that was one of our door prize winners. But on the docket of the 13, and each of them, we could spend an hour or more on each of them, but there's one, the voter-controlled expansion of gaming in the state of Florida. I think that's so important because casinos are going to throw money at politicians and at the system to say, we want a mega casino here or there, and they'll do it like this. They'll say, we're only going to put it in Miami-Dade, or we're only going to put it in Tampa, or we're only going to do this.
Yes.
And that's the camel's nose under the tent. So we have
a
chance to say no, that any expansion of gambling shall be by 60% of the electorate at large if we pass that amendment. That's an important amendment.
Yes, that's Amendment 3. And give us a little more clarity on that, because it is the voter control of gambling of Florida. It's where it is, as you know, a citizen-initiated amendment, and it gives the exclusive rights to decide or the authorized expansion of the casino gambling in Florida to the voters, which are putting it in the Constitution. And just as we had pot that was voted on by some 71% of the Floridians, I'm fearful of doing that. As you know, in the House and the Senate, there's been a battle and a suit by the gambling industry, the gambling, if you will, cartel in the state of Florida, trying to remove that from the House and the Senate's power, that is, our governing agencies. Tell us a little more about the process of what is taking place there, because right now there's an agreement with Seminole tribes to allow some expansion of casinos, but that's left up to the state and through the legislative body. But I'm fearful, Senator, if we open this up through a constitutional amendment and allow the people to then be the power brokers on that. We've got so many today, it's unfortunate, that are not as moral and ethical and do not think through the issues as perhaps I would or you do. Speak to that issue a little.
Well, in brief, I know our time is so short, and I want to thank you, first of all, for bringing up the issue. And a caller could come in and say, we have tons of gambling. What's the problem? Well, we know that gambling has an underside that rips families apart, that is a serious addiction that that causes great angst in many lives of Americans that just take it a little bit too far, and it's so easy to do that. So we already have an economy that's cooking, that's booming. Other states want to be like us. We don't have to be like other states that are dependent upon this activity. We do have an agreement with the Seminole tribe, which has independent sovereign lands in the state of Florida. We think they probably already have the right to do it, but we've entered an agreement that says we will limit gambling elsewhere and just give us a share of your revenue for the gambling that is done on reservations. That's been a great deal for us. It's worked, but other casinos eye Florida as a big prize, and so they're going to push an expansion of gambling and dog tracks. They're going to put the expansion of Hi-Li and other types of areas where it'll start with slot machines and then go on from there. So what this does is just draw a line in the sand and say no more expansion of gambling until the voters approve it. If the voters approve it, then you and I, just like pot, we'll sit on the sidelines and say, I think we made a mistake, but we would go forward with it. But it has to be voter approved if we were to go forward.
Yes. Senator, we've got just a few seconds left. Give our listeners a heads up on how they can reach you, contact you if they have further questions. And by all means, I invite every listener to vote for Aaron Bean on August the 28th. But speak to our listeners as we close this broadcast today.
Thank you. It's simple. Aaron at AaronBean.com. Aaron at AaronBean.com. AARON is my name. If they have a thought or or an idea or an invite, if would love to hear from your listeners. And it's always
sounds
a pleasure,
great.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, always thanks so much, Senator. It's a delight to be with you today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.